Good evening, Rabbi Zay. It's nice to have such a chash of olam here tonight, Baruch Hashem. Zelch, it's always come together for good Torah and better food, or good food and better Torah. We are going to continue our discussion of shadchanas and shadchanim and how to pay shadchanim, and do I have to pay, and why should I have to pay, if I have to pay. We're going to talk about some specific scenarios tonight. Specifically, what I want to talk about is how quickly, if a person does have to pay shadchanut, how quickly do they have to pay? Do they have to pay? Last week we spoke about if there's a need to pay if their wedding breaks off. I want to also speak about, perhaps if we have time, if there is an international shidduch, meaning the shadchan is the Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, and the chassan kala are here, or the chassan's here and the kala's there and the shachan somewhere else. So do you follow the going rates in Eretz Yisrael? It's a lot cheaper than here. My nephew just got engaged to an Eretz Yisrael dikka girl, and he's from here, she's from there. The shachan happened to be living in Eretz Yisrael, so they pay the going rates in America, the going rates in Eretz Yisrael. And finally, I think very importantly, is to discuss what happened with me when I got married. When my wife, who I'm married to right now, the only wife I've ever been married to, actually, just to clarify that so there are no questions on tape, about five different people independently thought of the shidduch. And I don't think I said yes to the first one, but after I heard it four or five times, then I said yes. But the shadchan that I used to actually be the go-between was not the first person who had the idea. So is there a responsibility to the first person who had the idea? Is it only to the people who are actually involved? All these questions are the things I want to speak about this evening. We'll see how much time we have. What we saw last time we learned about the sugya is a fascinating insight into why there might be a chiv of shadchanos. We learned this exactly identical without any question whatsoever, identical to a case of a broker. Just like a broker is a shadchan between a buyer and a seller, for a real piece of real estate, and you have to pay halachically, mikra din, nothing to do with the minhag hamakom in America, nothing to do with signing a exclusive listing document with your real estate broker. You have to pay because a sirsur, the intermediary, the shadchan, Medina de Gemara, has to pay. The question was why. We saw last time, 2 weeks ago, a very interesting opinion. That was, I don't remember who said it, maybe the Gross said this, that it's considered, if I do an enhancement to your property without your permission, without you knowing about it, I go to your backyard and I build a pool, so I could charge you, even though you didn't ask me to get involved, you didn't ask me to do anything, I gave you a hana'ah, and I could charge you on that. That's the din of Yored Lesoch Sdei Chavero. If you go down into your friend's field and improve the field, you have to. The house owner has to pay for the improvement. So if I go down to somebody who wants to get married, and I give an improvement to his field, I find him a wife, so they have an obligation to pay for the improvement that I offer them, even if they never asked me to get involved. Even if they never came to me, even if they never inquired, even if they never said they wanted to pay somebody, the fact that I gave them an improvement, not to their backyard, but to their life, by finding a spouse, that itself could obligate payment. There might be another chiv, and that chiv would be if you go to a shadchan, you don't say, I'm going to hire you as my personal shadchan, it's not like you have your personal, your private interior designer or other things that you might hire as a private driver. You don't hire that, but you go to a shadchan and say, find me a shidduch. That's different than what we just said, because the first thing we mentioned a minute ago is that the shadchan on their own initiative goes down to my field and improves my field. Here we're saying that if I go to a shadchan and say, Mr. Shadchan, could you please find a nice guy for my daughter, a nice daughter for my son, or a nice girl for me? So then you are basically employing that person to do brokering for you, and then you are hiring them. So that's not the same case as somebody who happens to go down to your field, even without you knowing and improving your field. That's hiring a worker. And regular halachas of hiring a worker. Why is this important? Because we know that when it comes to hiring a worker, there is a very important halacha. The halacha is there's a pasuk in the Torah which I should have put on the sources, but I didn't. The pasuk in the Torah says that if you have a worker, you have to pay him that day, the next day. Biyomoti ten scharo, velo salin pulas sachir ad boker. I might have messed up a word or two there. But there's an issa d'oraisa to delay a worker's, an employee's payment. So if you have a worker, a day worker, you have to pay him by the end of the next, let's say he works to you till 5 p.m., you have to get him his payment by the end of the night. Not by the end of, whatever, session he worked for you, you have to get him his payment by the end of the next session. So if you had a night worker, he worked all night for you, you have to get it to him by the end of the coming day. If you have a day worker, you have to get it to him by the end of that night. So the question is, well, if I had a shadchan, if we say that they are my worker, let's say they didn't just on their own initiative suggest a shidduch to me. I went to a shadchan and said, can you find me a shidduch? So I'm hiring them as a worker. And guess what? They found me. They did the job. They did their work. So do I have to pay them within the first 24 hours that the shidduch is finished? The first 12 hours, whatever? If they finish the shidduch, let's say we get engaged tonight, Thursday night. So does that mean that by tomorrow afternoon I have to give him his fee, her fee? And if not, I violated an issur d'oraisa of lo talin, of holding off the payment for a worker. If they're my worker, so there should be whatever the din of a worker is, which would be that you have to pay them within the set time. That's the question that we want to raise now. So let's think for a second. What kind of shadchan will this apply to? If the shadchan did it on their own volition, right. If the shadchan did it on their own volition, so they're not a worker. They get paid why? Not for the work that they did, but because they gave you a hana'ah by going down to your field and building a pool, so you pay them not for the work they did, but for the hana'ah, the profit that you derived. Not for their actions, but for your benefit. As opposed to when you go to the shadchan and say, please find me a girl, find me a boy, find my son a girl, find my daughter a boy. There, where you're hiring them, there, that's what we're talking about. So it doesn't have to be paid within 12 hours, let's say, of the shidduch, 24 hours of the shidduch. Yeah?
Because a worker comes in, for the work that he does for me,
you're right. That's correct. You're not paying for failed shidduchim. You're not paying them for the work that they do. However, you're paying them for to complete a job. So that's kablanos. Oh, I hear what you're saying. You're not paying them an hourly wage. You're paying them for kablanos. And you're saying that for kablanos, we don't apply this din. I don't know either. I should know. Do we apply the din of lo salim pulas sachir ad boker for a kablan? For somebody who has a job. They're not an hourly worker, a daily worker. They work for the job. I don't know. I should have done that. I don't know. Let's check that out. So I want to share with you an interesting svara that we could suggest to perhaps give an extra little extra time and say that you don't have to pay right away. You don't have to pay right away. Let's look at the following story. Look at the Gemara Bava Metzia on source number 20. Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud. In the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Gemara talks about this din d'oraisa of not delaying a worker their payment. And here, the Gemara talks about a case where I don't just hire a worker, but rather I say, Mr. Bach, could you please do me a favor and hire a worker for me? So you're doing the recruiter. I say, you hire the worker for me. So the Gemara is going to say that if I didn't hire a worker, rather Mr. Bach hired a worker for me, there's no isser of delaying payment. Let's see. And then we'll have to understand why. Tan Rabban. Homer lechaveru. I say to Mr. Bach, say schor li polim. Please go out and hire for me some workers. Shneihem ein ovrim yishum bal talim. Neither of us, if I delay payment, you don't get a punishment for the delayed payment, nor do I. Why? Zeh l'fishal ha-sacharon. I don't get it because I didn't hire these workers, Mr. Bach did. And Mr. Bach doesn't get punished. V'zeh l'fishal ein pulas, so it's low. They weren't working for him. Because he could say, hey, you're going to get paid by the Baal Bais, by Rabbi Orlean. Now, what's the exemption here? Why is there no Aveira of delaying payment, of Baal Talim? So look at the Tosis Rid. The Tosis Rid says something interesting. He says that when a person doesn't know who he's working for, What happens in the mind of a worker? They say, I know who I'm working for, and I anticipate getting paid by this person, this identified person. I know who he is, and he's going to pay me at the right time. But if a recruiter hires you, and you don't really know who you're working for, they're the one who, Mr. Bach hired you, so you don't know what to expect, exactly what the payment will be, how the payment, even if they tell you I'll hire you $10 an hour, but you don't know who's paying you. If you don't know who's paying you, then you don't really expect, you don't necessarily expect the money to be at a certain point of time. So therefore, that's how the Tosfos Rid says, let's see that inside. This is how the Tosfos Rid explains the Gemara we just read. The reason why no one violates Baal Talin, delaying a payment, if there was a recruiter involved, time of the mills, so on source number 20 on the Tosfos Rid, time of the mills. The reason why there's no Baal Talin for delaying payment, the ki chazu polin, Baal Abayis, kad mogar luhu, when he hires them, kad is kasher mogar, he's socher them, when he hires them, samchuda tayo de la perinu biome. If a regular person hires workers for himself, then my workers rely that I'm going to pay him back, pay them on time. Aval kilo chazulei, when they don't see the boss, they just see a recruiter. Lo samchuda tayo de la perinu. They're not samich das, so who's going to pay them? Even though he's going to see, even though the recruiter says, don't worry, the boss I'm sending you to is going to pay you. You know, they could rely that they'll get paid. Fine. They rely on the fact they're going to work because they know they're going to get paid. But aval la'alter, but to assume they're going to get paid la'alter immediately, lo samchud atayhu. Therefore, he's not over. That is the Tosfos Rid. It's a tremendous chiddush, yes.
It's my obligation to pay right away, because he's not saying with me that.
Exactly. Yeah. The fact, you're right. Even though you have a chiv as an employer to pay immediately, the fact that he doesn't assume it's going to be paid immediately ameliorates the employer's obligation. Mm-hmm. Right. That's Tosrit. Other Rashi doesn't say it. Rashi, no, I didn't say read Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi has a different shot, but at least there's a Tosrit here. So there's a Sefer Chukei Chaim that I found, who talks about Shadchanos, and he quotes Menachem Mendel Shafran. Anyone know who Menachem Mendel Shafran is? I don't. What? Okay, but he quoted him as like a big Adam Gadol, and I don't know where he lives or who he is, but this person, Menachem Mendel Shafran, said it's a very interesting svara. What does Tosfos say? Tosfos is saying, I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. I don't know. You're hiring me. You're working. A recruiter hired you to work for. You're working for a temp agency. The temp agency hired you to work at this firm, but you don't really know the firm. You don't know the boss of the firm. You don't know what's going to be. So you know you're going to get paid. They discuss what your fee, what your pay rate will be, but you don't know who's paying you. What exactly the what date they're going to pay? Is it going to be a weekly pay, a daily, every 2 weeks, every month? You know how much you're getting paid, but you're not. So you're not somebody to ask. Says Rav Nachman Mendel Shafran, according to this. Every shadchan, when he suggests shirach, does he know that he's going to get paid? Most of the time, he doesn't get paid, in fact. Most of the time, he doesn't get paid because most shiduchim don't work. Only the one out of every 5, 10, 15, you know, poof, that works. So therefore, just like you see this Tosfos do that when you're not so mechdas, that you're going to get from this balabais at the right time. So that takes away the Isra of Baal Talin. Maybe we could extend that idea away from just a regular worker to apply it to the case of a shadchan, that every shadchan also doesn't really know if his work is going to get paid or not. And therefore, what do we see from this Tosfos Rid? That if a worker doesn't know the details of how he's going to get paid, there's no Baal Talin. There's no Isra of delaying it. So maybe also every shadchan is like that, because he doesn't know. When I suggest a girl to you, I don't know if it's going to work or not. And therefore, I'm not so mechdad. Me, as your employee, as somebody who's working for you to try to find you a girl, I'm not so mechdad. I'm not assuming that I'll necessarily get paid, because I might not get paid. It might not work out. And therefore, this suggestion, based on this Tosfos Rid, is a reason why there might not be an iser in delaying the payment of a shadchan, because the shadchan entered not knowing at all if he's going to get paid at all, and that we see through this Tosfos Rid. That would be a reason to be exempt from the issur of delayed payments. One other idea. Let's say, this is an interesting halacha. You have to pay on work around time, right? The next day. Let's say you have a worker who works for you on Friday. So when, by when do you have to pay him? He works for you Friday afternoon. He's your flower delivery boy. You have a flower shop, you deliver flowers Friday afternoon. By when do you have to pay him? What should be, if not for Shabbos, what should be? Saturday morning. By Saturday morning at 6 a.m., he has to be paid.
But I thought it's even before the nightfall.
No, I think you have the next... I think B'yomot Titen Schero is not the day he's working, but till the next day.
Makro.
What? Yeah, right. Chaval, Tachval, Simlas, Riacha. That's for taking collateral.
Oh, okay.
That's for taking collateral. So you have 12, let's say 12 hours. If he works during the day, so if he works the Friday afternoon shift in the flower delivery business, so you, Mr. Flower Shop, Jerusalem Flower Florist, has to pay him by Saturday morning at Netzacham at 6 a.m. But wait a second, you can't pay him by 6 a.m. Okay, so we're going to say you have 12 hours Motzei Shabbos to pay him. Let's look at what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 22, Choshen Mishpat Hilchas Tzchirus Polim. Oh, talking about halachas of making sure that you pay on time. Avar Zmano, if the time passes that you should have paid, Ein Balabayis Over Mishum Baltalin. Let's stop there. So, the halacha would be that there's no baltolin, there's no iser of delaying payment for a worker who worked for you Friday afternoon. Since you don't pay on time, and you can't pay on time, the iser drops off. There's no iser to delay the payment at all. Okay, there's a different halacha that you should always not hold money for, that you owe other people, so you pay it soonish, but there's no iser of baltolin, of delaying, the no iser derisa of delaying payment. According to this, the same... Go, Rabbi Nachman the Shachin also suggested, what happens to the Shachin? When does he do his work? He does his work, he gives you a phone number, he tells you about a girl, he tells you where to go, what to do, you go on a date. When do you have to pay him? Well, you're not going to pay him until much later, till you see if it happens. By then, he already did his work. Meaning, just as a regular payment, the florist delivery boy, he did his work Friday afternoon, and if he's not paid within 12 hours, which he can't be paid, so you don't violate the Isra Baltalin. So to a Shadchan, he did his work, or she did her work, 6 weeks ago, and she can't be paid within 12 hours of her work, because you're not paying them, because there's no Shidduch yet. By the time there is a Shidduch, their work was done, 12 hours had passed, there's no Isra Baltalin anymore, because the Shulchan Aruch tells us that once you pass the time, that time cut off, there's no longer an Isra Baltalin. Very creative suggestion. You could argue on it. How could you argue on it?
I'm just thinking it's a chassidish.
The Shadchan does it the whole way through. So yeah, that's what they said. That's how the Sefer Chukas Chaim says. And no, he's chassidish. That the Shadchan is involved, the very last, he's involved at the, at the very last point. He's also being involved, and he's making it happen as they close the deal. And then, if that would be the case, then it would be, you could pay immediately within 12 hours after you close the case, because the Shadchan's evolved at that last moment. Okay, that's a side point. Okay, so we just finished that discussion. That was a side discussion to discuss whether or not a Shadchan has an Isser. If a Shadchan is hired, meaning you go to Shadchan, please help me, in that case, they're a Poel, should they have the din of Polim in general, of Socher, of Schirim, that you have to pay immediately, and there's no sederais about time. That's the end of that sugya. Let's talk about the next point. The next point is, it could happen quite often, right? So there's a neighbor, you're not really good friends with them, but they're sort of a friendly-ish neighbor. And they had an idea for you, they call up you, they call your mom, they have an idea, they're so excited, and you're very grateful. Oh, you'll try her out, might as well. So you go on the date, and lo and behold, it works. So all of a sudden, the friendly neighbor realizes this is a cash cow. I could cash in and get $1,000, $2,000 from this sort of friendly neighbor we have, right? If it's a good friend, maybe they wouldn't, push it. But so she says, you do know that I did, I worked so hard on the shidduch. You should only know how many times I had to call. You don't even know about. I called so many times, and the other side that you weren't sure, and I reassured them, and I told them, okay. So now, if a shadchan promises that, oh, I just have a great idea for you, I don't want any payment, I'm doing this just because I love, because I want to get my olam haba, and then once they realize there's cash, and they can make some money, all of a sudden they say, but you know, I think maybe you should give me some money. So do you have to pay? Do you have to pay? Let's look at Rav Nevensal. This is not Rav Nevensal. This is, the last name is Nevensal, so I'm assuming it's Rav Nevensal Zatzal. He just passed away a few months ago, right? Rav Igdon Nevensal, was it here, his wife? His wife passed away, maybe, or he, I don't remember. Either he, I shouldn't say. One of, either he or the Rebbetzin passed away about a few months ago, I think. Okay, I'm not sure. So there's a Minchas, Shas Chuvah's Minchas Yechiel. I'm not sure how I found this. I found on the bottom, on the footnotes of the Sefer Nichsun Kehilchasa, I think. Very wonderful Sefer. And so there's this, I don't know who, which Nevensal this is. He says in source number 23, I'm going to give you, just out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to read you a shidduch. V'chein osa, v'nigmar ha-shidduch, v'acha, shekvar nigmar ha-shidduch, after the shidduch works out, they say, oh, Lamaya, you know, I worked very hard for this, I would like to get paid. But the person comes, the shalchan comes, the tvoas cheshad chonos, etc., etc. So there, look at my underlined line, patur l'shalim, you don't have to pay. Why? Because there's like a mechila. However, he says later on in the second half, he says, wait a second. Let's say a person, the shadchan says, I don't want to get paid. I just want to have a good idea for you. I like people. I like you. I want to help you. Gives you an idea. And then in the middle, the shadchan says, you know what? He sees it's going well. She sees it's going well. Once it's going well, they said, oh, maybe I'll, you know, hey, the chazan has money, the khan has money. Maybe I'll tell them, I only want to continue working with you. I only want to keep on helping out with the shidduch if I will get paid. So then what happens? They started out saying, I'm doing it for free. I have the goodness of my heart. I like you. I want to help you. And then in the middle, could they switch? 100%. A person could switch in the middle. A pole who could switch. You want me to continue? I don't have to continue. If you want me to continue, then continue on my terms. A person has the right to do that. Then they would be able to collect shadchanis if they so desire, if that would be the case. Let's skip the next shtickle. I want to talk about what happens if, two more points. What happens if there are multiple shadchanim? This happened, I got a shraddha from this shul. Somebody in the shul, sometime in the past year, had a person who, one shadchan had the idea, another shadchan, sort of, who knows the kid better, worked with the family through the dates, but it was the other person's idea. So they called me and said, you know, the person we've been working with over the past month or two or three, we paid, but do we have any obligation to the first person whose idea it was? So let's look at this sugi right now. So here we have a Pesachei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the Pesachei Tshuva. Sorry, skip to Pesachei Tshuva 26. Okay, let's go in order. What happens in the case? I told you my nephew just got engaged, and he's from here, she's from there, the shadchan's from Eretz Yisrael. But any shadchan Eretz Yisrael who makes a shidduch with an American is going to want American rates, right? And I understand, I didn't know this, but I understand that Lawrence has its own rates. You knew about this? There's like the Lakewood rates, and then there's the Lawrence rates. So if you're a shadchan, even in America, you have, they live in Lakewood, but they're doing a shidduch in Lawrence. They want the Lawrence rates. I don't know if it's just Lawrence, 5,000, Barakway, maybe Cedarhurst, I don't know where they fall out. So where do you draw the, of course, everything depends on Minhag HaMakom. There's no halachic rate. It depends on Minhag HaMakom. And there are in any given community or sub-community, there are, you know, the norms. Eretz Yisrael is definitely cheaper than America. So what do you follow? So look at the Pesachei Tshuva on Evan HaEzer. He quotes his grandfather, as he always does. The Pesachei Tshuva had a grandfather who was a mechaber of the Panim Meiros. So three out of four Pesachei Tshuvas start off with saying, I have a Tshuvas Adoni Avi Zikni, Aleph Aleph Zayin. Adoni Avi Zikni, my grandfather, the Panim Meiros. So there was a case with a shadchan. Let's read the story. There was a shadchan shel shidduch ben ploni mimakom ploni, lebas ploni mimakom ploni, right? The guy's from here, the girl's from there. V'hashadchan tovei ascharo, like which place? They don't care which place, as long as it's the expensive place, right? That's the question. So, etc., etc. Umasik klalo de milsa, third line. Klalo de milsa, Dim hechasen hayadar b'makam hazol. The chasen's in the cheap place. The kala is in b'makam hayoker. So one's in the cheap place, one's in the expensive place. It doesn't matter who's who. Vashachin is b'makam hachasen, the cheap place. Ein lo mishnei tzadim elik b'makam hazol. If the shadchan is in the cheap place, as long as one of the people are in the cheap place, and the shadchan is in the cheap place, so if you have a shadchan in Eretz Yisrael, right, your Rebbe, or one of the seminary teachers in Eretz Yisrael has a great idea, and one of the girl, and either the girl or the boy is there, that's what happened to my nephew, so they have to pay the lower amount, the Eretz Yisrael degree. Fine. Aval, go to the bottom line. Bottom of source 25. Avalim hayadar hashadchan b'makam hayoker, and I think one of the parties is from there, I think. Mechuyavim l'shan k'minag makam hayoker shadar b'ha shadchan. I'm not sure if it just depends on where the shadchan lives, or it depends on if the shadchan lives there and one of the parties lives there. So you know what it's like? You know, this is like, did you ever notice that all the banks are based in Wilmington, Delaware? Right? Big Apple Bank, based in Wilmington, Delaware. North Utah Bank, based in Wilmington, Delaware. All the banks are in Wilmington, Delaware. Why? I guess because there's something that the Wilmington, Delaware gives you very good tax benefits and corporate, you know, benefits if you bring your business to Wilmington, Delaware, or Wilmington, Delaware. So, you know, shadchanim should always live where? You know, some people like to live in low real estate tax places. Shadchanim should always make sure they live in expensive areas, right? Better for them to take out a one-bedroom apartment in a basement of a fancy neighborhood so that they can always claim they're living in Makom HaYoker, and they could always demand a higher price for their shadchanis. Okay, that was just I'll bill you for my financial advice. Later. But I'm not sure if that's because the chassan lives there, or that's just because that's where he. So you're saying it's only because the chassan lives there?
I don't know. It sounds like the shadchan is accepting it because that's where the chassan lives.
Unsure. Not sure if it's only because that's his makam, or that the chassan is from there. Okay, I want to talk about the next question that we started with. Just two, 3 minutes ago, before we got involved with the international shidduchim, splitting shadchanas. So again, you have one guy who made the idea, the other guy is this more, like sometimes you have somebody who has a great idea, but you know they don't really know how to work with people, they're not good schmutz talkers, they're not good, they don't have good interpersonal skills, so you want more somebody a little more suave or experienced, deal with it. So how do we deal with the split? So Nodav Yehuda talks about the following. Now keep in mind, you know what people used to do? The post can talk about that. Somebody would come up with a great idea. And okay, they'd even start working on the shidduch. And then in the middle of the shidduch, when I see it's going well, I'll get, you know what, my cousin will take over from here. Why? Because my cousin's not going to charge me a penny. Or my brother will take over the shidduch for his niece or his nephew. So there, it's very smart. Once I see things are going well, so I'm going to try to get out of the obligation by getting somebody who's not going to charge me. So they used to do that. And that was Ramos. Trickery. So the question is, how to deal with that? Do you have to? Okay, so you're allowed to do that if you. The question is, do you have to pay anything to the first party or not? Look, a shadchan acher ligmar hashidduch. And okay, so another Yehuda points out that when it comes to a shidduch, there's a lot of negotiating that has to happen all the way through. So it could be an emotional thing, it could be, you know, get to know him better, get to know her better, you know, maybe if she wore a different outfit it would be better, maybe if, you know, he says, speaks in a nicer, gentle way, it'll be better. Maybe there are financial issues, maybe how many years, or other kinds of discussions, or who's going to help while they're finishing medical school, all kinds of different questions. That could be. And because of that, there it's understandable that there has to be, that there could be, again, in the world of Shidduchim, somebody who has to carry it through till the end. And therefore, the person, just because they had a great idea, didn't make it happen. We have to give credit to the person who was active throughout. Shadchan the Nodav Yehuda says there are a lot of details that have to be crossed, that have to be, I's that have to be dotted, and T's that have to be crossed. And even if the first person has the ability to do all the details, but the mice didn't. So therefore, the second person definitely, clearly, is going to have to be the main shadchan. The question is, what about the first person? So look on the top of page 5. So, Ayin Bateres Tzvi Shekosav, Tehamaschu V'Hagomra Yachloku B'Neim V'Shaveh. The person who, you know what it's sort of like in baseball. What do you have? You have the pitchers. You have the pitcher who opens up the game. And what do you have afterwards? The guy who comes in. The reliever. Like the seventh inning, they throw him in, they bring him in to...
There's three. There's the starter, the reliever, or maybe several, and then you have the closer.
The closer, right.
When they're actually winning.
Right, so... So that's what we have with Shidduchim as well. It's just like a baseball game. So the Atetzvi says they split 50-50. The beginner gets 50% and the second person gets also 50%. But he puts an interesting tonight. And again, you have to know, in the olden days, you have to realize that even it's unfortunate that our Shidduchim have financial components in them where they are now. But in the olden days, marriage was nothing more than a shine. It wasn't like you have to get to know the girl and make sure you like each other and you get each other's jokes and he understands you and she understands you. And it was very much a financial matter. And it was much more about the finances. Therefore, he puts an interesting tonight. He says, to be considered the starting pitcher, you only get compensated for your starting activities, for starting off the shidduch, if you talked something about money. If you at least told them, oh, he's going to give you this much dowry, or she'll give you that much, dowry, or this many years, or that much money, or this much per month, then you consider a starter. If you just have a nice idea of a nice girl and a nice guy, that doesn't even make you consider a starter, and you get zero. Nowadays, I'm not sure, because,
But now I'm going back.
What? Depends on the community.
The boys want to sit and learn.
Maybe in a community where the boys want to sit and learn, and then there is a very strong financial component. Right. I don't think it was like that, 15 years ago.
20 years ago,
that was probably not the case, or minimally, or except for very small, a much smaller component, Maybe now this would come back. Could be that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was not all about. It was not fundamentally financial, and maybe you would be considered a starter even without saying something about money. But it's interesting that he says it's only considered a starter if you talked about money, if you talked between the two sides about money. Fine. Now, let's finish off for tonight with a very simple case. This is what happened with me when I got married. So I told you that a number of people have mentioned the Rebbetzin to me, and I didn't listen to the first one, I didn't listen to the second one, I didn't listen to the third one. And after about 5 people mentioned it, I said, okay, I have no one else to go out with, I'll give it a try. Baruch Hashem, I did. Here we are. So the person that was my shadchan happened to be Rav Mordechai Willig's son, Rafael Willig, who's married to Braun on Martin Lane. Anyone know Braun, Martin Lane? Okay. So they were my shadchan. But they weren't the first person who had the idea. So am I chayev anything to that first person who had the idea? So look at what the Pesach Tshuva says. He says something absolutely incredible. He says, look at the Pesach Tshuva quotes of Shev Yaakov before the English. I wrote two sentences in English before that, 3 lines before that. Zeha klal. Ilulei shahaya zeha maschil. Let's say, again, I'll tell you the shayla that we had from the shul. Somebody in the shul in the past year asked me this exact shayla. One person came up with the idea. They weren't comfortable with the person being the go-between, so they had somebody who knows them much better be the go-between. Do they have to compensate that first person whose idea it was? So the Pesachei Tshuva, quoting the Shev Yaakov, Shas Tshuva Shev Yaakov, that we will see in a moment, says, if the person had the idea, and it's only because the first person gave the idea that the second party, the second shadchan, was able to build on that idea and take it through to fruition, then you owe the first person something. However, if the first person had the idea, the second person equally had the idea, and the second person had the idea on their own, and had their own idea, same idea as the first person, but the second person came second, but the second person had the idea on their own, And was the Shadchan? You don't owe a penny to that first person who had the idea. So it's not who had the first idea. It's who was the person who originated the idea that was actually brought to fruition. If the second person had their own idea, the second Shadchan.
So you could throw out all the copyright
correct.
Laws in this country
correct.
Right now.
Correct.
With that, with
correct.
That
as long as you don't look at the, as long as you don't build your invention by looking at the patent book, the patent list. If you have your own idea and you came up with it yourself, just because somebody did it before
that's a hard,
you.
I think that's a hard sell. I think the patent wins.
You're right. You're
even
probably
if,
right.
Even if it was completely independent,
I'm sure in legal, in copyright, in intellectual property, you're correct. I'm sure in intellectual property, you're correct. Let's get it inside. The third to last line before my English writing. Zehaklal. Ilule, if it weren't. Shahaya Zehamas Lasher Sorolazad, the one who began, who had the first, you know, who woke up to this idea. Lohaya Ola al Das Achayim Ladabi Bishudachalazef. No one else would have woken up to this idea. It's only because, it only happened because that first guy had the right idea, so then you have to pay that first guy. Which was my case. This is mamish, my marriage was like this. The latter people, who was my shadchan in the end, it was their own idea also. I don't have to give the first four people who suggested my wife's name to me a penny, even though they were the first people who suggested it. But keep in mind one thing. Why did I go out with my wife?
Because it was the fifth time.
Exactly. But it seems from here that doesn't matter. It seems from
it's like
here.
It's like hammering, it's like tefillah, hammering in the nail.
Right, you know, exactly.
Accepted on the first time. You've got to hammer it in. By the fifth time, it goes in.
Right, so in a certain sense, the first four people made the fifth time work.
Right, so then they're all mitzvahed.
Right, so it doesn't sound like
here
that.
Here, it's only talking about the shidduch vis-a-vis the other shidduch, the shadchan vis-a-vis the other shadchan. Not necessarily the impact it had on the person. It's the impact it had on people talking. Oh, that's a good idea.
I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. Let's look at, he gives a beautiful shtickl. Now we're going to see a beautiful shtickl Torah, a good, beautiful vart for the parsha. Not this week's parsha, but it's a beautiful vart. He asks a fabulous, fabulous question. When Yosef died, so he made Bnei Yisrael swear that they would take his bones out of Mitzrayim to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu got involved with taking out his bones before he takes Mitzrayim. Let's look at the Pasuk. He brings a raya. The Gemara in Sota. Ksiv in Shmos, Ha'ikach Moshe, Satzmos Yosef Yimo. Ki Ashbe, Hishbiah, fine. But if you look in Yehoshua, when it talks about Bnei Yisrael actually entering Eretz Yisrael, what do they have with them? They have the Aron. They have the Shvatim coming into Eretz Yisrael. And they also have Esatzmos Yosef Asher Ha'alu Bnei Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim Kav B'Shchem. Wait a second. Well, before it said Moshe took Yosef out of Mitzrayim, now it's talking about Bnei Israel are the ones who are responsible. Who's responsible? Says the Gemara of Sota, third line after my English. Kol ha'osa davra v'lo gamro, u'ba'acher v'gamro. Who do we call the finisher? Ma'ale olav ha'kosel ashe gamro kilo asa. The one who finishes it gets the credit. So wait a second.
There's a huge difference there. Huge difference in those cases.
We're going to get to a chilek in a moment. Okay. So we see from this Chazal, Mefreshu Gemara, that says that the finisher gets the credit. Asks the, who is this, the Shev Yaakov Astira, because there's a beautiful medrash. Mizma Shir Chanukas Habayis Le David. Who built the base of Mikdash?
Shlomo.
But whose idea was it? David. So how come Mizma Shir Chanukas Habayis Le David, we give David the credit?
Even
and this, he's the starter. He didn't finish it. He just started it. And yet when it comes to Moshe, Atzmas Yosef, the Gemara says explicitly, call it based on the one who finishes it. And that's why the Pesuk in Yeshua says, Bnei Yisrael brought Yosef out of Mitzrayim, not Moshe. It's a stira, asks the Shef Yaakov. It's a stira in Chazal. Do we consider the starter the guy who gets the credit or the finisher who gets the credit? So he says something very simple, beautiful and simple. The exact same thing we just described in the Shiduchim. If the first person started it, would the second person have been able to finish it only because of that first person, or the second people could have done it on their own? By Yosef, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself would not have looked for Yosef's bones, Bnei Yisrael would have left it at Atzmos Yosef. No, Yosef swore, made the Shvatim swear, ki hashbeah hishbia. Lo, whatever the pasuk says, Yosef made this Bnei Yisrael swear that they would take his bones out. So if Moshe wouldn't have done it, somebody else would have done it. However, when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash, if David wouldn't have done it, would Shlomo have done it? He suggests, well, there's somebody named Shaul. Shaul was a melech before David. Shaul didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. So if Shaul didn't do it, maybe David wouldn't have done it either. And maybe Shlomo wouldn't have done it either. So what was the one who made it that it would that really happened? It was David HaMelech. So even though Shlomo finished it, but David was the one who caused it to happen. So therefore, it's David gets the credit. As opposed to by Moshe, where Moshe, you're true, he had the idea. And true, he got involved in the beginning, but it would have happened without him. He said, that's the same, that's a beautiful answer to a theory in Chazal. The same chiluk that we're saying by a shidduch, with which we'll finish right now, that if the first shadchan who has the idea is the one who made the shidduch come to be, because the second shadchan just worked off that first idea, then you have to pay a responsibility to pay that first shadchan, which was the case here in the shul of the past, sometime in the past year. If, however, the first person had the idea, and then the next guy had the idea, and then the third guy had the idea, and the third guy actually carries the idea to fruition, which was my wedding, then there's no responsibility to the first and second guy, only to the third party who actually had their idea on their own independently and brought the shidduch to its completion. Shalom be zochet to Simchas and to rebuilding of Yerushalayim and to Kol Sasim, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasim, Kol Kala.
Shkoyer.
Thank you for coming.
Normally when I come